Good day and welcome to Mar Talks, and I'm your host, Daryl Rosenstein. Today we're going to be discussing the world of supply chain in the retail world. They've been facing a number of vexing challenges since the pandemic, and to discuss that today, we're going to be speaking with Gerhan Kok, the CEO and founder of Invent Analytics. Welcome, Gerhan.
Thank you, Daryl. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I appreciate you making the time in your busy day. Running a startup, takes more than one head, and at least we've got one of them here for the podcast. Well, I wanted to begin as you actually came into the software world from academia and
yes.
were spending a number of years working in predictive analytics. And what exactly were you studying that introduced you to the retail vertical and convinced you to tackle these particular problems that you're addressing?
Yeah, so I started as a operations research PhD at Wharton School, and I got involved with a couple of big retail projects, processing big data, predictive analytics, as you mentioned, and inventory optimization, which is inventory is the blood of retail. So you need to really control the flow of it to optimize, to make customers happy, at the same time do it at a cost efficient, productive way. So I work with a Best Buy, Nine West, and Albert Heijn, which is Ahold's parent in Europe, as my first retail projects in, you know, before, let's say, Y2K. And then since then, it's been a great journey because I realized there are very interesting problems from an academic perspective that would benefit the retailers with a huge impact on their bottom lines, financial profitability, as well as the way they work, as well as how they think about these problems. And I've been doing that on a, you know, very involved basis with retailers during my academic career when I was a professor at Duke, and I also taught at MIT for some time, and continued working with retailers. About 8-9 years ago, I decided to, partly for circumstances, I realized that there are commercial solutions that address these problems in the marketplace. However, they are they're lacking or falling short in addressing the retailers' needs in several dimensions, one of which being the algorithmic approach that these solutions, in existing solutions, take is super basic. There is a lot of things that industry can benefit that is available in academia, well known, but they're not necessarily used in the marketplace. And my hypothesis was that this could be used, but I realized we work with retailers who have big R&D centers even, and they couldn't take those algorithms or improvements and integrate with their existing software infrastructure or architecture, because there are different owners of different components of software and they really cannot easily adopt or customize those solutions. So I started Invent Analytics with the idea that we can address that faster by building a solution that is really open to easy and fast customization, but also start with a ground zero point of a much better answer that is available in academia. So that's the starting hypothesis of Invent Analytics, and that started with working with a couple of retailers, testing these ideas, and it's been, the last 10 years proving that idea. We believe we've been successful to some extent. But what you described early on in terms of adaptation, we'll come to that maybe later, but there are obviously challenges with a different approach, taking a different approach to the market. And so we're trying to overcome those in multiple ways, I guess.
Well, what do you think the key problems are that retailers face in driving margin?
Oh, that's a loaded question. Right. So I will, you know, talk about the part that I know about, which is, you know, there's obviously merchandising problems. You know, customers should get the right products that they need, which is partially a demand-driven approach and partially requires great retail minds who would figure out what those services and products should be. That's not something I know very much about. The second piece is, given that definition, you know, the supply chain is, the role of the supply chain is to bring those products to the marketplace fast, at a low cost, and bring it to the right place at the right time. And inventory is the outcome of that. So positioning inventory in a retail store network and DC network, distribution system network, at product level, location level, and the right time, time dimension, is what is, we call it a chemical reaction that brings supply and demand together. And when you bring the supply with the right demand at the right time, that reaction, that chemical reaction, is what generates the margin for the retailer. And we are focused on the supply side of this chemical reaction. And what is missing in this chemical reaction is, you know, this is the holy grail of retailing. You know, you want to be able to do this at the lowest cost and exactly just in time. That's obviously physically not possible always. Actually, it's possible. It's not possible most of the time. So the question is, how do you manage this? You know, what we see is that customer retailers lose potential margin from both sides of the picture. One is, you know, don't have the right products that customers want at point A at time T, and therefore they lose the sale. So that's a lost margin. That's dollar margin that the retailer loses, even though they have the brand, they have the stores, they have the employees, and they have tons of inventory. They just don't have the right product at that moment. So that's one side where they lose the margin. The second place they lose the margin is they have the inventory of the other products full of warehouses and stores, and that is a costly activity. That is a financial cost associated with that, obviously. Inventory is not free, and it carries associated, I mean, it's costly to carry, and there's a lot of risk associated with it. So that is another thing that eats away from the margin of the retailer in cases where it is able to generate margin. So these two sides of the coin requires an optimization problem, or generates an optimization problem that people have been, you know, tackling for many, you know, many, many years. It's, you know, to find the right balance of how much inventory to put in the right places, in the right time. So that's the question that we work on. So that's a big, and the impact of this is tremendous. You know, there were studies many years ago that showed customers who would go to like a clothing retailer, apparel retailer, 30% of the time they cannot find the size they're looking for. So that means 30% of the customers, they like this shirt, they want to buy it, but then they don't have the size of it and they walk away. That's a huge missed opportunity. So the financial benefit of this, fixing this problem, is for each retailer, it's billions of dollars. And the larger the retailer, the bigger the problem, obviously, from a margin perspective.
Well, you know, you've, in order to drive this set of analytics, in order to predict what to put where and what quantity in the right time, your solution is interfacing with a plethora of platform legacy technologies, from their ERP to their supply chain, inventory system, warehouse system, transportation system, many of which have very siloed data. You know, in order to work with them, you need to make sure that the data is quality data, that it's accessible, that it's stable. You know, when you engage with a customer, what state do you usually find their data to be in? I heard a gasp.
Yeah. There. It's like, right.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, retailers have invested a huge amount of money and time in actually creating data structures and data hosting and retrieving capabilities so that they will have a positive response to the question that you asked. And I think this is a work in progress. Nobody has reached where they want to be. More advanced, larger retailers are ahead of the curve relative to some other retailers. However, anybody you talk to, they would say that they have significant data accuracy problems and a plethora of systems that they would, IT for, collecting this data or bringing it together is a big challenge for them. And what we find is that is the biggest hurdle in, time to market for our solution or for any other improvement ideas that they have. So this is something we see. And then smaller retailers, or let's say some retailers who have not invested in these resources, are in much worse shape, obviously. And I think more from the multiplicity of solutions or even some data sets that are in Excel or, in random places, that would be very difficult to create a flow, a clear and sustainable flow of data. And that's a major problem. There's a saying that I really like, perfect, they say it's, you probably know this, perfect is the enemy of better. Right, so our preference, and it worked very well, is that we don't wait for the perfect, because we don't know when perfect is going to come. So with the existing systems, we create a roadmap of how they would integrate with us. In some cases, this is easy. If someone has a lake house and, or data lake, and they've already put everything together, at least the inflow to us is easier. And then we follow that roadmap, depending on, and that roadmap usually gets us to a point where we have acceptable quality data, and not everything we need, but at least, the majority of the data sources that has to be covered in a relatively quick time frame, so that we can derive value from this project. So it should not be, instead of getting 95% input and doing this a year from now, I would rather start with 70-80% of the inputs in a month. Because the beauty of analytics projects, and I can tell you how we get this later on, is that the beauty of analytics is that it just generates, if you're a $10 billion retailer, every percentage point generates $100 million incremental profit. $100 million incremental profit per year is $10 million, $8 million per month. So every month that you're delayed, you're losing $8 million. We would rather start gaining that, earning that, and that money could fund many other internal projects, IT or otherwise, for that retailer. So our motto is speed beats perfection all the time.
Speed with perfection. I love that. Can I copy it?
Sure, of course. Yeah.
All right, cool. No trademarks. Great. Well, in order to drive the solution optimally, it's that transaction data that is often missing with most of the legacy ERP and supply chain solutions. They don't incorporate it. They don't have visibility in it. How effective have retailers been at being able to share out that transaction data in real time to drive analytics?
So I think the purpose here, again, I think the goal of the data transaction or data interchange should be purpose driven. And that means, this is again with the idea of timely output, quick time to value. So for our solution, for inventory optimization, real-time data is nice to have, but it is not a must-have. Therefore, what we do is our roadmap would have a daily interchange of not transactional, but summary data at store product item level. And that is easy for retailers. Everybody has this. Various few retail, there are some very old retailers who would not have their inventory data. That is that would not qualify for this statement. Even in, you know, companies that you would know, you would be surprised. You would see some cases like that. But typically, most retailers have this data, so we take that and we work with that. The incremental part for real time would be important for certain types of data. For example, if you're an e-commerce retailer, real-time pricing data of your competitors, or real-time promotion data if you're doing changes to your promotion system within the day, would be required. And that would require a separate or a second level integration or a different integration, which we would add on as a, you know, selectively depending on the need and the, if there, the purpose is there. Otherwise, we don't take, I mean, our goal is not to take all the data. Our goal, our purpose in life is not copied everybody's data in their full detail. It should be only things that we need are for our purpose, because we're a point solution that works on inventory optimization. Our goal is to get those data sets fast.
Yeah, it sounds like you certainly have a solution where it doesn't require the client to have a pristine data set or to have real-time data integrated in order to realize the value quickly. But, you know, obviously we've just addressed that retailers have made very substantial investments in their legacy solutions around ERP, supply chain, and inventory, and that they're quite understandably risk averse because of how those solutions involve very lengthy implementations, involve a great deal of training of users in order to particularly developer enablement. But I guess what I'm interested in is, with your solution, it is API-led development. And that is a new category of solutions that have arrived on the market as of late that are cloud native. And as a result, there isn't typically as long an adoption curve. And we addressed this a little bit before we were on air. And I was hoping you might be able to talk a little bit about the developer experience of working with your solution.
So this is maybe different from other systems, is that those folks are on our end of the system solution. So the way we've solved this problem, maybe this is another way. I think this is cloud native to me, comes from that. So, old software solutions, or old software mentality is that you have an on-prem solution and you would have to have people on site who would maintain, operate, and so on. So our solution is not on-prem, it's cloud, on the cloud. And we maintain it. We make sure that it is up. And therefore, it is a centralized deployment of those types of resources. There are controlled and trained and grown up in our environment, rather than trying to have a bespoke system and you have to do this at 100 retailers. So this problem in that way is no longer a major problem. It is a smaller problem. And obviously, the more microservices based or API based our internal architecture is, developers are much happier because they can control their module or their components end to end, and they don't have to solve or work with others to solve their own problems. So the dependencies are much lower in these types of environments. And this is something that we've been working on a lot but it is a continuum. Nobody is fully microservices based and nobody is, maybe some are, but at least we try not to be on the other end of the spectrum. But that's, you could be more and more, microservices. So that's a journey, I think it continues. But it's certainly, developers love it. Maybe the short answer to your question is that. Yeah, I think it may be helpful if I describe the journey of a client with us and what they see. So the way typical software implementations, as you mentioned, if they're on-prem, they take a long time for sure because they require infrastructure. But even if they're on cloud, they would take a very long time. A typical implementation in our field would take about a year minimum to get the data sources, to get the business requirements, to get the system up, do necessary customizations, and then train the users so that they would set up parameters so that they would get the right amount of inventory in the right places at the right time. The way we work is very different. And the reason we work is very different is partially because of this data discussion that we had. You know, to be purpose-driven and to get do the integrations in an API-driven fashion, like you mentioned, with the rights from the right granularity only, to have actually a fast integration. And then the second piece is our system is fundamentally different from existing inventory systems. If you look at, you know, standard solutions out there or any supply chain solution, they would ask a planner, dear planner, in your great wisdom, what do you think my service level should be today for this product and this location? And a planner would need to answer this question for, let's say, 10,000 products times 1,000 locations, so 10 million product location combinations. That's just not humanly possible. So what they do is they say, well, you know, I have A products, B products, C products, 98% for A, 97% for B, and 95% for C. So these numbers are absolutely, you know, they may be reasonably good numbers, but they're not the right number for every product and every location and that day. You know, if you're going into Black Friday, it may be a different number. And if you're coming out of Black Friday, it may be a different number. So our solution, because of the academic idea that I mentioned to you, is a financial profit optimization idea. And financial profit optimization actually figures out the optimal amount of inventory that you should have in the, you know, product time location space and puts the right amount of inventory. It's a bet, by the way. It's not a exact knowledge. We predict that it is the right amount. So it is a financial bet, but you do this for all these locations and product combinations, okay? And it generates financially a better number than the set of parameters planners manage. It generates typically, you know, we go to a test very quick, because we are able to do this very fast. We don't need to train the users extensively. They don't need to provide answers. We actually give them the answers. The role of a planner changes from someone who we are asking, oh, dear planner, tell me the answer, so I will give you an answer for that. We change to, here are the answers. You're welcome to monitor them. And here are the exceptions that you should question. But you can use these answers for 10,000 products times 1,000 locations right away. Therefore, because of this, a year-long implementation and a six-month-long training compresses to a few months. Instead of an 18-month training plus implementation, we can be live in 3 months. And this is what we did in our cases. So with Academy Sports, for example, one of our larger clients, we were live in 3 months, including the data integration. They have many systems. They don't have perfect data. And they had a lot of planners, and we were able to go live in 3 months for a very complex business that has a million SKUs under management at any moment in time. And then we go to test. Yeah, so maybe one last thing. Then we go to test. Because we're able to go live quickly, we say, okay, let's do a test. What we do is we take, you know, half of the business or 20% of the business and run it under our system versus the complex decision mechanisms of systems, people, rules, parameters, and consultants. And we compare. And typically, we generate 150, 200 basis points of incremental profit, which is the numbers that I gave you before. For a $10 billion retailer, that means we generate $100 to $200 million incremental profit as a result of this very fast cycle. So this is the typical process that we go through. And for us, the testability is only possible if you're fast. Because if you're not fast, world changes, things change, nothing is testable easily. And the speed comes from the components that you've mentioned, you know, fast integration, smart integration, and the ability to bypass the planner's inputs, which is an algorithmic capability.
There's always a component of guesswork that goes into traditional systems where the planners are essentially flying by the seat of their pants in terms of what inventory to put in what stores. And some folks get pretty darn used to that, trusting their opinion and that of their teams. You know, what do you do to convince these folks that, hey, I've got an artificial intelligence that's actually going to be able to do that for you better?
You know, this is a big challenge, but actually you spoke like you've seen our slides. So we call it, you know, one of the things that we say is that, you know, existing systems on a lot of postmortems and guesswork. So you look at the past holidays and you say, oh, why did we not have this? And why did we have this too much? And then you try to learn lessons from it. Everybody learns, tries to learn. And then you try to do better next year around. But a systematic fashion of our systems, you know, AI-based systems, is that we can actually go back to last year. And we can simulate, right? That's what a training system does. We can simulate many different strategies of learning and see which one would have worked better last year. Rather than saying, yeah, we didn't do great, we will do better next time, you actually generate the optimal strategy that would have worked better last year. And that would be the next year's strategy, if you will. I mean, if it is a yearly cycle or if it is a weekly cycle, same thing. There are multiple levels of convincing, right? So first is when we first meet with someone, if we have access to their data, we actually take their data and do exactly what I said. We simulate their past, not future, but we simulate their past with AI, with our AI, versus their own systems, which we've observed, right? And we show product by product, location by location, how the decisions would have been different and why it makes sense or not. So that's first level, right? Second level of convincing is the test. We say, we bet the farm. We say, all right, give me this much of the business and let's do a test. You know, if we generate more money than you, that must be something, right? I don't know your business. I don't know any of your details of business. I could learn these over time. Many years it will take. But even without that, we could actually generate more margin dollars. We've never failed a test where we didn't generate at least 150 basis points more profitability. And sometimes it is as high as 5 percentage points higher profitability. And third is, then there is, I think, regression to the mean. People want to go back to their old ways after some time. So they may say, I want to have this, I want to do this, I believe we should have more product here, I believe we should have less product here. And that's an ongoing basis. What we do is our system, we try to enable this as much as possible and create visibility. So, you know, what some people call explainable AI. So one, we want to explain our decisions to users, why this is the case, why is this output better than other outputs. And the second is ability to simulate alternative scenarios, either past, of past, or for future. Past for, you know, relearning exercises, future for predictive description of what if situations, so that the user can say, okay, you know, I'm convinced, I will follow the system's advice. Or this is the reason why the system is wrong. This is also learning. That's a learning for us. You know, you are not taking this account. And that is sometimes the case also, right? So, and that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing for us. It's not a bad thing for the retailer.
Well, co-development is, you know, what smart companies do. They take that input and they incorporate it into the next version of their solution or that instance for the client. Right. You know, it's good to hear that you're listening. I think that, you know, I also want to just say, you know, we've mentioned gambling a lot here, and Professors at MIT certainly have had a checkered past when it comes to blackjack, and you were not involved in that in any way, although I wish you were, because I definitely stink at blackjack, and I could use some advice, but, you know, that's for another day. We'll cover that in another podcast, but, you know, one of my favorite brands is Camper, and I know that I've been a fan of theirs and a loyal customer for many years, and I certainly hope that they benefited tremendously from utilizing your solutions.
Yes, Camper is a European shoe retailer, very nice brand, expansion, you know, reasonably high priced shoes, and they have a store network in Europe especially that is connected through omnichannel fulfillments, even across countries. So it's an interesting supply network or retail network. And what we do is we do omnichannel forecasting for them, meaning that, you know, what is the demand for stores from offline, you know, people who are walking into stores, as well as from online, from each region or, you know, metropolitan area for each store, metropolitan area for online demand, and how they should position inventory in their DCs and stores to address a composition of these, given that, you know, a very strong, after pandemic, a very strong percentage of their sales come from online, and a very strong percentage of that online demand is fulfilled from, not only from their DCs, but also the stores, even sometimes from a store in another country, in the case of Europe. And Dave, we've been working with them for some time now, quite successfully.
Wonderful. I hope that everybody's wearing Campers at headquarters. But, yeah. You know, supply chain is one of those areas that I've always been fascinated by, because it connects so many of the businesses' heads together in terms of planning. You know, you've got category managers, product managers, merchants, buyers, supply chain leaders, pricing heads. You know, their ability to communicate and collaborate amongst themselves has challenges all its own. Some retailers are good at it, some are bad at it. You know, how does your solution account and optimize and perhaps even facilitate that?
I would say we work mostly with the supply chain or planning teams. I think the way we collaborate with them is that, obviously, you know, companies have many objectives, right? And maybe logistics would have a different set of KPIs, and supply chain would have a different set of KPIs, and stores would have a different set of KPIs. And these objectives may be conflicting. One wants to drive costs down, one wants to actually increase the availability and push more products to the customers. What our systems enable is, it actually, because it's a financial optimization system, not only it makes the right decisions, but also it quantifies the benefit or cost of making changes to these systems. You know, if you're the logistics provider or logistics manager, and you want to reduce the frequency of shipments to the stores, it would improve your cost structure. But our system will show the benefit from the cost of actually doing that, if you're reducing the shipments, cost of doing that from increased inventory and lost margin perspective. And that would inform the decision for the full organization, rather than arguing back and forth without any data. You could actually create the true financial impact of that decision. And it may or may not be the right thing to do for the organization. That would be better informed with the technology that we enable and the solution we provide.
Well, I mean, we've addressed the need for retailers to be able to have the right, obviously, products in the right places. And we've also addressed a bit about the solution's ability to allow the planner to actually experiment. And actually, I wouldn't call it override the system, but go with their gut in certain areas and test it. back and forth between their predictions and what the solution would have had from a point by point or by an item, from an item to item endpoint level, which is pretty fascinating stuff. Well, I wanted to give you an opportunity here if you have any closing thoughts for us about the current economic environment that retailers are experiencing and what do you see happening over the next few quarters?
First of all, the biggest change we see now is the cost of money is going up, right? Interest rates are going up. And this basically is a big concern for retailers because they have a lot of cash tied to inventory in their DCs, in their stores, and in maybe in terms of orders that they've already passed on to their vendors. And this is a big concern for CFOs and the Wall Street also. Everybody is focusing more on creating better terms, inventory terms, for this coming year. At the same time, nobody wants to give away the opportunity to grow or capture market share or make their customers happy by having the right product in the right place. As a result, the financial profit optimization approach to inventory is becoming even more, top of mind for retailers. And the opportunity is even bigger because you cannot just throw inventory at the problem and hope for growth. And we see this, so that's one big development. The second big development is omnichannel. It's been around obviously very strongly for the last three years for sure, but it's shaped customers' expectations in a way that is irreversible. Customers buy online and they buy omnichannel and they want to return omnichannel. As a result, the measuring or managing supply chain performance with a silo mind where you just focus on the stores or your DCs is just not representative of how the inventory and customer requirements flow through the system. As a result, you need a holistic perspective, and a holistic perspective is no longer simple KPIs. You really need a supply network or retail network optimization to manage this successfully. And I think these two challenges combined with the potential downturn of inventory, or not inventory, so the potential downturn of demand, which may be coming from, both inflationary pressures as well as, recession fears, at least, increases the risk of inventory at the retailers' minds. So this is a big year for retailers to manage this challenge correctly. We're here to help with the technology side. Obviously, the top level strategy requires a lot of foresight, which nobody has. So it's you have to take your bets as prudently as possible in this type of environment.
Well, fantastic. Gurren, I appreciate your observations and your prognostications on what's going on in the retail economy. I'm sure it's going to be managed far more effectively this time around, thanks to solutions like Invent Analytics. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Daryl. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure and a great discussion, really.
Thanks for listening to MarTalks. Please leave a review and a rating on your platform of choice. We're available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all major podcast platforms. To find out more about how the Rosenstein Group can help you find the right leaders for your client development teams in MarTech and e-commerce, please visit our website, rosensteingroup.com.